Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our living Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to focus on a couple of those verses in our epistle. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. There's what's known as the toddler's rules of ownership. These 10 statements, well, they describe that very childish, even selfish nature of little children. Let's hear it. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. And if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. And if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. And if it looks just like mine, it is mine. And if I think it's mine, it's mine. And if it's yours and I steal it, it's mine. And if you're having more fun than me, it's mine. And while we chuckle at the truth contained in those rules, there's more to them that is just under the surface. See, toddlers aren't the only ones who act in selfish ways. Those same rules probably could apply to us as adults and children alike. As you see, a child's world centers around himself. It's that natural state of all of humankind. And someone has said that any child could be a potential dictator. And it becomes very evident at an early age. And that's why we have to teach children to share and to care. It's more important than mere outward actions, but Jesus tells us that all need to be reborn of water and of the Spirit because of this natural bent in on ourselves. The following story kind of illustrates that a bit. There were some children playing out in the playground, and they were at school and teasing one another, as children often do. And they began to pick on one child who was adopted. They said, "Oh, you don't have real parents," they taunted, "or you don't even know who your real parents are. You're just adopted." Cruel, isn't it? And to that, the adopted child responded, "Oh, yeah? Well, when you were born, your parents didn't have a choice. They had to keep you. My parents didn't just have me, they wanted me." Friends, you are a child of God because God wanted you. And from eternity, He chose you to be His own. Before you were ever born, before there was a chance to prove yourself to be a sinner, God chose you as a member of His family through spiritual rebirth. He made that place in your family possible, carrying out His plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection. And then in that time of his choice, His adoption became a reality, sending His word into your life and the Spirit into your hearts and making you His own. He put His name upon you when you were baptized. And that work which He began with His word and your baptism, God continued in your heart to this very day, so that you can say with confidence, "I am a child of God." And that's what Apostle John says in our text. God has called us to be His children, and we can say we are God's children. That is what we are. Apostle John was not a young man when he wrote these words, and perhaps in his late 80s or early 90s. You would think that by this time he would have figured his place in the family of God was pretty well much taken for granted. But not John. Can you still hear the wonderment in his words? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Have you ever seen the musical or the movie Annie? Of all the children in the orphanage, they're all hoping that someday someone would take them home and they would be their children. Not in Annie's wildest dreams did she think of someone as rich and wonderful as Daddy Warbucks, that he would choose her to come and live with him. Why would anyone want someone so plain and so ordinary as herself? And for Annie, it was kind of pinch me and tell me that it's a real experience. So it is with being a child of God. But in a much more, much, much more dramatic way, it becomes real. There's no reason that you and I ought to hold in hope in our heart that God would want us or choose us to be his child. I have no right by birth. The human race lost that right when it counted God's family and Adam and Eve fell into sin. Listen to what Genesis 5 tells us. This is written, the account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. And when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Did you catch all that said? God made man in his image. Therefore, Adam had a right to be called a child of God. But then, sin entered the picture, and he lost that right. And then Adam had children, and they weren't born completely perfect in that holy and righteous image of God. They were born like Adam, sinful and rebellious. We call that original sin, or that which is inherited. It became a part of our nature and essence. And that's why the Bible says we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. This is before God has done any work in our lives. We were like the selfish toddler. We have not earned the right to be called children of God. Have we always used God's name with honor and respect? Have you always loved the Word and used it diligently? Have you eagerly sought to worship Him at every opportunity of worship? Have you always loved your parents and obeyed them perfectly? Have you ever lost your temper or said something you later regret? Have you ever had impure thoughts or held on to a grudge? I know I haven't kept God's commandments perfectly, and I by nature deserve to not be a child of God. And yet John says this without a doubt: how great is the Father's love that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. How can John be so confident? How can we be so sure? Because God would not have sent Jesus to die for our sins if he didn't love us. And God would not have put his name upon us in baptism if he didn't want us to be his children and choose us for himself. How great is the Father's love that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. Wonder at that statement for a moment. But don't for a moment doubt it or not believe it. John emphatically says, because that is what we are, or so we are in other translations. And if that is what we are, can you imagine what is in store for us someday as inheritors of God's kingdom? And John invites us to actually do that. He goes on, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There is so much that God could have told us, but left for our imagination. What will it be like in heaven? What will things be? Will there be beds and pillows, houses and streets and cities, gardens and trees, rivers and seas? Will there be basketball courts and golf courses? Will we have opportunities to study under some of the greatest teachers of all time? Or will we know everything perfectly? Will my body be 20 years old or 40 years old? Or will there be some gray hairs or wrinkles, only with strength undiminished? John says, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. There's enough there to fuel imagination and faith. As John says, we will be like him. I don't think he's referring just simply to our bodies, what they'll be like after in the resurrection. Or, yes, we will have glorified bodies, just as Jesus' body was glorified in the resurrection, perfect. But even then, what does this mean? I think John's referring to what our life will be like in heaven. We will be like him, holy and perfect. We will be like Adam and Eve in the beginning, before they fell into sin, created in the image of God, made to be in fellowship with God. Gone will be our sinful nature and all those terrible temptations. Gone will be the guilt, the shame, all the pain, the suffering. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having only pure and peaceful and happy thoughts in your mind all the time? Can you imagine the joy of loving perfectly all the time? And that's not all. John says, and we will see him as he is. I remember visiting an elderly Christian woman in a care facility in Buell. She was very severely limited physically, but she had this beautiful, wonderful faith. And as it turned out, she only lived a few months longer, but we were talking on one of the visits about Easter and about the resurrection. And she looked into my eyes and she said, with that joy and a twinkle in her own way, she said, can you imagine? We'll see Jesus face to face. Can you imagine what that will be like? John, the apostle, probably did a lot of such imagining at the end of his life. He was banished and imprisoned in exile on an island and separated from his friends, living to his early 90s, possibly under very harsh prison conditions on this isolated island. I doubt if there wasn't a morning that John didn't rise up and think, maybe today I will see Jesus face to face again. I doubt if the sun ever set on John that he didn't pray those words at the end of the book of Revelation, Maranatha. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Friends, when it seems like life is treating you, is not treating you fairly, when you may be struggling with health, or when you can't keep a handle on your emotions, or when you wonder why bad things happen to seemingly good people, just take a moment and think about that and imagine being a child of God. God's children have that right. you have that right as a son or daughter of God, because that is what we are. Believe it is so. Imagine what it will be like to see Jesus in his glory. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Remember who we are. God has purified us in the blood of his Son. He has called us to be his own. He has put his name on us in our baptism and made us adopted members of his family. And at the same time, you and I know that as a child of God, we want to become more like him each day. And if we fail to do that because we are weak and still have that sinful nature clinging close, we need only to look to him for strength and try again, and the next day and the next. And even when life is difficult, we need not despair. Because in our baptism, God has promised to never forsake his children. And we know that one day when we are with him in heaven, we shall see him just as he is, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. I encourage you to go home and memorize these short verses. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Believe it to be true. Imagine what heaven will be like someday. And then with the aid of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we become more and more like him every day. And through the power of that Word and the Holy Spirit, he's working within you. And we have those words of assurance. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible only because Jesus has risen from the grave unto life. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.